Today's Bible reading starts with, "You are the salt of the earth." Salty, so you're the one who's bloating the earth, raising the earth's blood pressure, putting the earth at a greater risk of stroke or cardiovascular disease, adding to cardiac enlargement risk, possibly adding to the earth's problem with ulcers, heartburn, osteoporosis, and stomach cancer. We need less of you in our lives. Or maybe you're the cranky ones, being salty, who can do nothing but grumble and complain. Or you're out there saying, "Get off my lawn," to anyone people have told you to fear. Salty attitudes. Or maybe you're the ones that keep the roads safer, yet are environmentally damaging corrosives. Okay, Jesus didn't mean those. Pretty sure he meant that we are the ones who strengthen the earth's flavor. We're the one that preserves the earth's food, seal the earth's covenants, and even signify wisdom. So we need more salt. Jesus didn't mean that people are crabby and afraid. I know, he knew people were crabby and afraid, and we still are. But the fear and demonization of the other is the thing that Jesus worked against, not for. And Jesus didn't mean that you're the stuff that's necessary to melt the snow and ice from the streets, sidewalks, parking lots, and driveways. First of all, there were no cars, right, when Jesus was around. But we got to pile that salt on. We got to pile the salt on with the weather. I mean, we've had decent weather, but there have been times this winter where the roads have been horrendous. And I don't know if it's, you know, they're putting more environmentally friendly things on and that stuff doesn't melt. I mean, all over Illinois and in the Midwestern states, the streets and sanitation people, they don't just use salt. They use a mixture of salt brine and liquid calcium, beet juice, cheese brine, along with rock salt and calcium chloride, with like anti-corrosives added to try and lessen the use and negative impact of salt. But sometimes it doesn't work as good as just plain old salt, which is corrosive. Yes, I get all of that, but the roads don't melt as well, and then we're driving and we have to be more careful. So maybe we do need more salt, or salt-like solution. But really, we need to realize that when Jesus calls us the salt of the earth, we gotta stay salty. We gotta stay tasty. We gotta keep being a force for good in the world. You are the salt of the earth. But Jesus also said, "You are the light of the world." I love that one. There's the song. There's "This Little Light of Mine," a light that illuminates the darkness. Like being in solidarity with one another across borders, across religion, ethnicity, everything. Being in community and engaging in dialogue and activities that bring folks together instead of dividing. That's what the meeting with Mecca Center on Saturday was about. That's what the meeting with DuPage United on Tuesday is about. It's about ways to be in solidarity across borders, across ethnicities, religions, everything. Jesus says we're the light of the world, so we got to let that light shine. Show love, don't hide it. Don't try to turn it off. Do good, let others see the good in you. Those are the main parts of the Bible reading today, but then there's this last part. "I haven't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." Finally, the Pharisees have something to cheer about when Jesus is talking. Jesus is going to help us enforce things. No more of this namby-pamby stuff where people don't have to follow the rules. We have to follow the rules faithfully, and we've told everyone how to obey them. Now Jesus said he's going to help us. And we know that Jesus wasn't here to please the Pharisees. He wasn't here to enforce the law. He was here to fulfill it. He was here to go beyond it. He was here to look at what the law intended to do instead of how it could be interpreted to be something that made life more and more difficult for people. Jesus fulfills the law by reminding people, "You are salt and you are light. Go and do what salt and light do. You are the ones that I'm here for. I want you to understand the law. Yes, I want you to live it at its most basic level, love. I'm here to restore what the law is really about." And one of the greatest things Jesus does in restoring the law is that he does go beyond it. He gives good news to the people. The Pharisees are calling for law and order, and Jesus calls for love. Jesus offers grace. And grace is wonderful. Grace says that when you make a mistake, you're still salt and light. Grace says that when you fail, you're still salt and light. Grace says that no matter what you've done or what you'll do, you're still salt and light. Grace, this beautiful thing, it makes the ones who fail celebrate. Grace also makes the ones who like to point out others' failures seethe. But grace says that there's nothing you can do to be salt and light, and there's nothing you can do to not be salt and light. So there's an age-old question that theologians have been discussing forever. Maybe not forever, but for a long time. So since we can't lose it, we can't get it, should we just try to be the worst we can because we're going to be saved by grace? A lot of people try that one. But remember that when you're salt and light do good. So we do good. We do a good turn. We help our brother and sister. We attend to one another. We don't look at each other as the other or someone who's not worthy of love or respect. We look at each other and say, we have a common humanity. Let's share that. Remember, Jesus didn't come strictly to enforce the law, but to fulfill it, to bring restoration to what the law was supposed to be. And Jesus calls us to continue to work for good, to be in solidarity with the oppressed, with the persecuted, with the marginalized, with the forgotten. This is what Jesus was and is about. This is what we have been, are, and will be about. We are salt and light to live, to love, to work, to restore. Amen.